Friends, we now move on to chapter number 12 of the subject innovation management, and the name of the chapter is "It is in your hand. The future of any organization rests solely on its ability to co-manage two dynamic and necessary processes, two processes at a time. The first is improving quality, beyond doubt, improving quality, improving profits, because we are there for that. Our existence is because of the profits. So we have to continuously improve quality, continuously increase profits, and levels of customer service, also very important in the short run. Our day-to-day job, we must do it the best way possible for us. Continuous improvement of quality, continuous increase of profits, and continuous increase in levels of customer service. In the short run, then we will be surviving, in the short run, making beautiful profits and be known as the best company. But that is not enough. Second process, developing breakthrough innovations, which we have discussed all along. Developing breakthrough innovations that are going to form the foundation for the organization in the long term. Because you have to cater to the increasing needs, different needs, diverse needs of the customers. Breakthrough innovations are required that are going to form the foundation for the organization in the long term. People forget this. They only continue the status quo, and they forget that innovations are required. These two processes are the only way any organization can stay competitive today and competitive in the future. Don't forget that your competitive advantage must continue in the future also. And for that, breakthrough innovations are required. People forget this very, very important point. They continue with their status quo, somehow manage their day-to-day operations, and they are satisfied, complacent with that. We should not be complacent with that. In fact, even though the two processes called for entirely different skill sets, for example, innovators, different skills people will be there, implementers, completely different will be there. There is a vast amount of dynamic additional energy that is liberated by head-to-head battle between the two processes. It requires a willingness on the part of the leader. Leader, underline. It requires willingness on the part of the leader to accept the challenge to create an organization in which people can excel. Look, nothing is possible without the involvement of people. We have discussed this many times. In TQM also we have discussed this. People are important. So it requires a willingness on the part of leader to accept the challenge to create an organization in which people can excel while simultaneously managing the present. People will manage the present also, and people will create their own future. The focus on people, never to forget. All people in the organization, all employees in the organization. The key to achieving that has more to do with people, their relationship with each other. They must share very, very positive relationship with each other. There should not be dirty politics. There should not be fights. There should not be leg pulling. Better, very good relationship with each other, and less to do with products and technologies. Look, the organization doesn't run only with technology, only with products. People run it. So please note, it has less to do with products and technologies than most people will realize at the first glance. People don't realize that. People are the most important thing in the organization. Then there is something called a change. Dealing with inevitable change in an organization typically involves transitioning to a new way of working. Sometimes this occurs during a business transformation, the change that realigns people, realigns processes, realigns technologies seamlessly to a new strategic objectives. The strategic objectives change because of the business transformation. At times, changes can be intimidating. They make the people afraid, stressful, because of the uncertainty often associated with new situations. For example, when I was working in Bangalore, the company was shifted 35 kilometers from the main original place in Bangalore. And I remember all the people had become very afraid how to now go 35 kilometers away from our house. People become afraid, but company needed it. So managing change can be difficult because most people become accustomed to one way of doing things. For example, the distance between their house and the company is 8 kilometers. Okay, they are accustomed with those 8 kilometers. Suddenly, if this distance increases to 44 kilometers, people get disturbed. Naturally, change can cause stress for individuals. For example, I am working in the mainstream Bangalore. If I am transferred to a village like Pinya, there near the Bangalore, I become a little bit worried about my future. Why are they transferring me out? Am I excess in that group? Am I unrequired in that group? So I become stressed because of the change. You can use some proven techniques to manage change in an organization and help to diminish the stress and potentially damaging effects on the organization and its members, employees and customers. This change will be there. Earlier the changes were not so frequent. Now very rapidly the things are changing. So very rapidly you have to implement the change and the stress will be there. But some of the proven techniques to reduce this stress are: watch competitors. What competitors are doing, watch them, tell the people, plan flexibly, seek information, focus on training, better communication, call the people, tell them why the change is happening. What is the significance of the change? Why we are doing the change? Inform them, train them in the new skills. Tell them that you are not going out, only your place is being changed. Inform them the reason or reasoning behind the change. Take them in confidence. Tell them what competitors are doing. seek information from other competitors and tell your employees. Tell them that you are not going to lose because of this. It is simply a change which we have to do because of certain strategic reasons. Take your employees into confidence. Better communication to everyone in the company, because every employee is important. And in the light of innovation, we don't need any tensions. We need people to get motivated. So better communication can reduce the tensions, and we want motivated people, otherwise the innovation will get killed. So we have to manage the change properly, then only innovation will remain alive. That is the point going on here. Vibrant and robust organizations are always open and even eager to embrace change. They are not afraid of any change. They do that by continuously finding ways to improve the group culture, positive thinking in the group. They do not want that the tensions are increasing, the relationships between the people are damaging. They want to continuously improve the group culture. People at the focus. Incorporating appropriate humor in the organization. It should not happen that people are unhappy, people are worried, people are tense. There should be actually an appropriate humor. People should smile. People should have healthy thoughts in their mind. Then they will smile. Building the self-esteem of all employees. Again, people. Self-esteem of all employees. Listening to employees intensely, which very, very rarely happens that we listen to the employees. We must listen to the employees intensely. Giving people recognition for what they are doing well. Find out what they are doing good. Catch them doing good job and reward them. Say, you are fantastic. Say, you have done a good job. Say, you are terrific. Say, I always wanted a man like you. Give recognition for what they are doing good. Encourage people ongoing personal improvement. Encourage. If they want to buy a four-wheeler, support them. If they have any problem in their house, support them. Go all the way to help him. Ongoing personal improvement. If he wants to do any course for improving his competence level, support it. It is necessary. People are important so that the change will become the very easy thing to implement. Innovation is known to fuel organizational growth, to drive future success, and is the engine that always allows businesses to sustain their viability in a global economy today and tomorrow. Today and in the future, both managers and researchers must regard innovation as a life and death matter for the firm. We should not ignore. We should not only continue with status quo. Innovation must be regarded as the life and death matter for the firm, in which the constant need of fighting for survival and the threat of competition encourage firms to innovate. The organization as a whole must be ready to absorb innovation. Innovative companies should be built into shared innovation mindset. We have discussed this. Magnet works. shared mindset inside the company and outside the company. Team should be working together on new solutions that were not tested before, completely new solutions. That means more hard work and less replication. Managers should involve the entire staff, down to the administrative assistant clerk, where you see a collective interest and care for the project. Collective interest. It should not happen that only R&D people are doing it. It is the entire staff. There are three types of executives in the world. These are those who can get short-term results and do not have a clue where they are going to take the company in future. Only short-term results. They are masters of short-term. Then there are those who have a great 10-year plan, but are going to be out of business in 10 months because they don't know short-term. They don't have proper short-term plans. They only look for long-term plans. In addition, there are those who can get short-term results in conjunction with a vision for the future. They look after short-term also. They look after long-term also. These are the good executives. The people who have a vision for short-term, the people who have a vision for long-term, such people are very rare. They are unbelievably short supply. Today's leaders must be willing to invest in something that will someday come to replace all that they worked so hard to achieve. Last 35 years they have served the company. They have worked so hard. They have achieved something. But time has come to replace all that with a new idea. Today's leader should not oppose this. They must be willing to invest in something that will replace all that, what they have done. This must be done because yesterday's technology is not going to work anymore. Earlier we were having cathode ray TVs. Nobody is going to buy cathode ray TVs now when LCDs are there. Earlier we were having desktops, big, big computers. Nobody is going to buy desktop computers now when there are iPads, when there are laptops. Please understand that today's leaders must be willing to invest in something that will replace all those old things. Time has come. Recent academic result finds that differences in individual creativity and intelligence matter far less for innovation than connections and networks. We have discussed magnet works. There must be networks. Social network analysis can help leaders to diagnose existing networks in order to ascertain their characteristics, such as the frequency of collaboration. They must speak to each other and the degree of cross-functional interactions. Marketing people speak to manufacturing people. Manufacturing people speak to purchase people. Cross-functional interactions among the members. And that too frequently. And to identify people who exchange information and knowledge. Respondents to a survey of 600 executives and managers indicated that trust and engagement were the mindsets most closely correlated with strong performance on innovation. If you want strong performance on innovation, you need trust between the people and engagement between the various networks. Then, what if analysis? What if analysis means it lets business leaders assess potential business changes before they happen, because they ask questions. What if this office would have been in Chennai instead of Mumbai? What if I have 25 people instead of 50 people? What if I travel by metro rather than a car. We then get answers for our potential problems or potential businesses before they happen. Using past business data, users can see how different changes would affect various aspects of their business. A few notable benefits of what-if analysis are: it decreases the risk, potential risk. Because if I say, okay, today people are buying a laptop, what if tomorrow they don't buy any laptop? What will happen? What we have to do? Then it reduces decision time, it improves decision making. What if analysis is also called in the safety management as HAZOP, hazard and operability studies, operability studies. They ask, what if the diameter of the nozzle is less than the minimum? What if the diameter OD of the bearing is more than the maximum or less than the minimum? What if the OD of the bearing is rusty? What if the illumination is less than required from a electric bulb or CFL bulb or LED bulb? Like that, they ask questions and then they find the action plan for that. This what if analysis is required. Then intuition. Innovation needs intuition. Intuition means I have some feeling that some customers may like a lighter product than this. Tomorrow, okay, today they are buying it, I know, but they may not accept this so heavy tomorrow. They may need a lighter product, a less weight product. This is my intuition. My intuition is that the jeans, the pant, people like it today, but tomorrow the people may not buy jeans. I have that intuition. So that intuition should be used, where you allow your subconscious mind to process all the facts and send your signals in the form of your sixth sense. My sixth sense says that people may not buy a petrol car after some days. My sixth sense says that people may not buy a small car anymore. Intuition is a genuine phenomenon. Now, I can't tell you the reason why I feel so. For example, my intuition says that people may not buy the small car anymore or big car anymore, whatever. I will not be able to tell you why. It is just my inner feeling, my insight. Intuition is a genuine phenomenon that involves misunderstandings and processes that are not non-hierarchical, not based on formal education or years of experience, non-analytic, unpredictable, quick and easy, is made without extended conscious deliberation. I am not able to tell you why I am having this kind of a feeling. Intuition. Emotional intelligence is the basis of intuition. It allows executives to make the right decision quickly. I have so much information around me, but I use my intuition to take the decision. Okay, you are telling all this, but my intuition says that shifting the office from Bombay out to the place like Nasik may not work. Everybody is telling me around, all the data here says that shifting the office to Nasik is cheaper, it may add more business and all that. Everybody is telling me around me, lot of data people have created, but my intuition says that if I shift the office out of Bombay,
it will be a failure. My intuition says, I am not able to support it. But from inner voice, my inner voice says that shifting the office out of Bombay may not work. Though everyone in the office is telling me that it is beneficial. That is intuition, and I take decision on the basis of my intuition. Roles to be present in balance amounts. If the organization aspires to maintaining world-class status over the longer term, all four of the following roles must be present in balance amounts in the company. We need all these four kind of people. The first is producers. What is producer? People with good technical skills who get the job done. They are producers who get the job done. Manufacturing people, foremen, manufacturing shop floor people. They have a good technical skill. They know the process. They get the job done from the people. Producers. We need producers also, just producers. Give them an operation layout, give them a drawing, give them people. They have technical knowledge, they know how to set the machines. They will get the job done. We need people. Producers. Then implementers. Administrators who can plan, organize and coordinate goals. They are implementers. We need implementers also. They are administrators who know the rules. They can plan, organize and coordinate goals. Implementers, implementers of actions. We need people also like implementers. Then innovators. The whole subject is about innovation. We need innovators. We always have producers, we always have implementers, but we don't have innovators. Who are innovators? Entrepreneurs who can sense what will be needed in future. The people who are innovating, they know what customer will need in the future. And then we also need integrators. What are integrators now? Team leaders who can motivate and mobilize groups of people. Team leaders. Leaders are required. They say in Sanskrit, yojakas tatra durlabaha. That means leaders are very rare. We need producers. We need implementers. We need innovators. And we need integrators who can motivate and mobilize groups of people, because in this innovation, people are most important. Leaders are required to motivate the people and make them know that they are the most important link in the whole chain. Very important, people. Very important, leaders. We need producers, we need implementers, we need innovators. Definitely we need innovators and we need integrators also. The central challenge for any aspiring great organization is to take into account the left brain, right brain strengths of people. We have discussed this already, and their natural functional preferences to ensure the right people are placed in the right areas of responsibility within the organization. What is left brain? It is logical and rational. Left brain thinkers will analyze anything half to death before acting. Only once it is completed will they look at the benefits. They first do analysis, then the action, then they have a feeling. Right brain people, they are intuitive. I said no. Intuition is there. They take decision by their intuition. They are creative. They are innovative. Right brain thinkers will feel or sense something is right on the basis of their intuition. Then they will stop and analyze. Analysis will be done afterwards. First they say, feeling. My feeling is that Shifting the office outside the Mumbai will be problematic. Then I will take decision, then they will do analysis afterwards. So we must have left brain people and also right brain people, a fantastic combination of both left brain and right brain. I will go to the previous slide. The central challenge for any aspiring great organization is to take into account the left brain, right brain strengths of people and their natural functional preferences to ensure that right people are placed in the right areas of responsibility within the organization. Once upon a time, there was a sage who was very knowledgeable and was able to answer any questions posed by the people. A person could ask two questions to him at a time. A very big sage, what we call it as Rishi or Muni or Sadhu, that kind of a man, very knowledgeable, very wise, anybody can ask two questions to him and he will give the right answers. He was well known for giving correct answers to the questions. People used to ask him questions like, when my son will get a job? Then he would say, next year. When will my daughter get married? He will say, this month or next month. The sage used to satisfy the people by giving suitable, right answers. There was no cheating in that. He was very well known for that. One day, a naughty boy decided to ask him two questions. And he was sure that the sage will not be able to answer at least one of his questions. He did a strategy. He carried a live bird in his hand and held it at his back like this, so that the sage could not see the bird. The plan of the boy was, the first question, sir, what is there in my hand? Then he would say, probably you have a bird. The second question, is the bird alive or dead, sir? If the sage says it is dead, then we show, sir, you are wrong, sir, the bird is alive. And if he says alive, then kill the bird behind only. And show, sir, you are wrong, sir, the bird is dead. That means the second question, the answer will always be wrong. Because if he says the bird is dead, I will show him that bird is alive. If he says bird is alive, I will kill the bird and show him that the bird is dead. So the boy plans that at least one question that sage will fail. So he goes to him, greets him, he asks the first question, sir, what is there in my hand? The sage says, it is a bird. The boy then asks the second question, is the bird alive or dead? A very key question. Is the bird alive or dead? Then the sage says, it is in your hands. I conclude by saying that it is in your hands whether to keep the innovation culture alive or dead. It is in your hands. Please understand, it is in your hands. Thank you.